I'd like to invite you tonight to the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth and the angel, the opening of Luke's telling of the Christmas story on Wednesday night. We kind of looked at the opening of in Matthew and the story of Joseph and his amazing character. I just, the more I think about Joseph and how he dealt with the information he had and the faith that he had to have and the kindness he had to have, he really is an incredible story. And many characters of the Christmas story are incredible in what we learn from them. And, you know, every time you read a Christmas story, something new and fresh, I believe, can speak to our hearts. And whatever, when you read the story, that God would speak to you about something that would bless you, call you, challenge you, maybe something you haven't seen before, felt before, somehow the Holy Spirit would use that to speak to you. I want tonight to look at the opening of Luke's gospel for the Christmas story and the coming of the angel to Zechariah in Luke chapter 1. So if you want to follow along, I'm going to read the story from verse 5 to 25. So if you want to read along with me and see what God says to you as we think about this story and this couple and this amazing revelation from God. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. In the time of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." What a beautiful story. What a neat story to think about the lives of this couple, Elizabeth and Zechariah. Their long lives. Twice we're told in the passage that they were old and well advanced in years. They'd been on the scene a long time. I'm sure they had seen a lot, but they hadn't seen anything like what God brought to them on this day. The parents of John the Baptist are important to the story. They're important to the Christmas story. They're important to seeing God at work. When I read the story, when I read the story again and thinking about it this week, it just amazed me how God orchestrates the details of our lives. How God works in things that we might not expect, and we would have never seen how God could weave together every detail that comes out in this story, and how God in advance knew the plan. He knew what was going to happen. He knew how the story of Jesus was going to unfold. He knew that one of those 24 divisions of the priests would on that particular time be drawn and come to Jerusalem. Priests generally served in Jerusalem 2 weeks out of the year, two full weeks out of the year, I believe, in Jesus' day. And God knew exactly when Zechariah was going to be there. He watched Zechariah, I'm sure, for many years, faithfully serving him. And God, at the right moment and the right time, brought Zechariah into the right place, and God revealed himself in an amazing and powerful way. And that's just one detail of the story. But there's so many parts of the story that just affirm that God knows every moment of the day. He knows, he has a timetable. And even in this passage, you have that term. And in the proper time, in the due time, God did what he said he would do. This is a great story of faith. It's a great story of these parents who honored God with their lives. And God blessed them in an amazing way. They both, we know, were descendants of Aaron. Both Zechariah and his wife were descendants of Aaron and descendants of the Levi tribe. And they often married within that tribe. And many of the tribes did so, of course. And so they were descendants of Aaron. And so many generations probably of Zechariah's family had served, maybe every generation perhaps, for many years had served and in different capacities as priest. Zechariah through the priestly division of Abijah. You may remember or know that when David was king in Jerusalem, that he divided the priestly tribe, the Levites, into 24 divisions and 24 groups of priests. And then there was a plan for how the priests would serve in each of the towns of Israel. And they would come to Jerusalem for their turn at different times. And of all the priests that would come to Jerusalem, there would only be one priest that would have the opportunity to light the incense. And most priests didn't have an opportunity to do that over their lifetime. And yet on this day, at this time, Zechariah was chosen to do that. Well, of those 24 priestly groups, the descendants and of Abijah, the division of Abijah, as it was called, they were the eighth named, back in David's day, they were the eighth group of priests. And Zechariah was a part of that. Abijah was actually a direct descendant of Eleazar, the son of Aaron. So you can trace back through the genealogies all the way, Zechariah, all the way back to Aaron, the brother of Moses, and then see how God worked through those generations. Well, what we know about Zechariah and Elizabeth, obviously the terms that are used to describe them is they were upright and blameless. I don't believe that meant that they were sinless, that they were perfect people, any more than good people today are good people and serve the Lord and are committed to holiness and living a life of sanctification. It doesn't mean that these were super saints and that these were people that didn't have struggles or issues, but they were people who were honoring God with their lives. They were faithful. They were doing their best. They were trying to serve God. They had a faith that was deep and real and had been there through the peaks and the valleys of life. You might say they're exceptional people, but in some ways they're average people. They're just people that love God, and God used them in a mighty way. And I think of how important it is for us to realize that when we're serving God, we're doing our best to serve God, that God has a plan for us. God can use us, not in the way that he did Zechariah and Elizabeth, but God has a plan for every Christian, every believer. Foundational to my personal theology and doctrine is God has a plan for every Christian in the body of Christ to be used by him. There's not a single person, too young or too old or too anything, if they're willing, if they have a heart that's humbled before God, but God wants to use them. And I believe that about Zechariah and Elizabeth, and I could put your names in there tonight. God has a place for you in the kingdom. He has a role to fill if you serve him and follow him. They were upright and blameless, and God used that and used them. I noticed the word all in the text, that they obeyed all the commandments. Both of them were upright in the sight of the Lord, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. They loved the law of God. They loved the law of Moses. They loved the work that they did, the traditions of the priesthood. They loved the Lord. They were conscientious. I also see the word here, faithfully serving. They were serving the Lord, all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly, and they were faithful. They were continuously, consistently, faithfully serving, using what God gave them, available to God. Old people, I don't know how old they were. I don't know. She still bore a child, so I don't know how miraculous that was, or if God just very close to the age that she could have borne a child, or it was a miraculous. I don't know which it is. But they were old people. They'd served God a long time, and God used them. God had a plan. God spoke to them. God had watched them all along. It's not like all of a sudden God said, oh, I see a couple down there, and boy, they're faithful, and they're blameless, and they're upright. But God had been watching them a long time. They had been serving God faithfully. So far, it just seems like everything is perfect about Zechariah and his Elizabeth. But you come to verse 7, and you see the word that begins, verse 7. All this that we've said so far about Zechariah and Elizabeth, but in verse 7, the first word is, but. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren. So kind of time out with how we look at the character of Zechariah and Elizabeth. They had no children, but they had no children. I just think of how much that kind of changes the story. So far, it would just seem like, boy, everything in their life has gone perfect. They're upright. They've honored God. He's doing his job. They're righteous people. They love the law. They've been blameless. They faithfully served. They had all that they had done, but, verse 7, but, reminds me that it rains on the just and the unjust. And that people who love God and serve God also have challenges in their lives. It's not that we kind of think there are super Christians out there that never have challenges. Here are these two good people who've lived a good long life, faithful, but they've also been living with some deep pain. They've had a life circumstance that they probably couldn't explain. They didn't understand. In fact, it probably challenged their faith, because in their day, Jews believed that if a woman didn't have a child, it was probably because she or her husband were not pleasing to God. Many of them felt that way and thought that. And so there was such a disgrace, not only in not having the joy of a child, but also in the disgrace that God would not give a person a child. I mean, they believed God gave children, and that was a gift from God. And so when he didn't, there had to be a reason. And so here's this couple living upright and blameless, but yet in their life was this big but in verse 7. But they had no children. You can walk in truth, and you can live a good life, and you can be faithful to God, but that doesn't mean you won't have pain or adversity. And it wasn't for this couple. Yet, in the midst of that deep disappointment, and we've looked at other stories in the Bible of childless families and the pain of that. Abraham and Sarah, for example, and two generations. Rachel and Jacob for a time until God gave them a child. But here, Zechariah and Elizabeth, their faith is still strong. They've been praying a long, long time. Not only were they good people, and not only were they carrying this pain, but it's something they've been praying about a long time. Another lesson. They've been praying a long time. You know, sometimes we have to pray a long, long time before we hear from God. And it's true that sometimes God answers prayer right away. Sometimes God gives us the answer and we sense it and we feel it, or we have peace, or somehow God breaks through and we come to terms with whatever we're dealing with, or hurts or pain, and sometimes it takes a long time. Well, here, is Zechariah and Elizabeth. They're old now. They've been around a long time. They've been carrying this pain for a long time. But they've also been faithful praying. They've been praying a long time. Sometimes wondering if God had heard them. Maybe day after day and night after night and month after month. And just imagine the pain of Elizabeth and, you know, with the news that no, it's not going to happen again this month. And Elizabeth praying and Zechariah seeing the sadness of his wife and just continuing to serve faithfully, continuing to honor God even though they didn't have the answers, continuing to honor God even when this great disappointment existed in their life. I just think of how this couple just keeps going in their faith, serving faithfully, deeply sad, missing out and knowing it, but yet having faith in God, that God's in control. What a story and example for us. Well, it says here that Zechariah was chosen by lot on this day. It's interesting when you study about the drawing of lots in the Bible. It's really kind of a unique way to look at things. You know, we think, well, drawing of lots, I mean, there are some churches who this is a cardinal part of their theology. They believe that you should draw lots for who is the pastor. You should draw lots for who's in leadership. You should draw lots for all kinds of things about servant leadership in the church. And I can understand that theology because there is a piece of that and thread of that through the Bible in both the Old Testament and a couple places in the New Testament. But chosen by lot, we just think that's random. But really, we know it's not. Chosen by lot means that God's in control and God will allow it to happen what it will. And that's the theology that comes out of that, that, you know, even with the choosing of the 12th apostle, they drew lots. Why did they? Not because they were just guessing and saying, well, whatever is okay. No, they said, we'll draw lots and God will choose which one will be there. But here it says they were chosen by lot on this day. Here's Zechariah, probably the first time he had ever had the privilege of lighting that incense, which was done in the morning before the sacrifices and at the evening at the end of the sacrifices on that day. It likely would have been the only time he could have before, but it very unlikely that the same person would have that same responsibility twice, and he had been chosen by lot. But it wasn't really it was by lot, but it wasn't random because God had an appointment with Zechariah, and he was burning the incense. And while he's burning the incense, God appears to him. God breaks into his world. He broke through and he came to Zechariah. Verse 11 says, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Also, it's an interesting study about incense in the Old Testament and how important it was to the concept of the presence and the glory of God. You know, I like to light our candles. We don't use incense in our church. We could. It's a symbol. It's a symbol that was used back then, and if it helps us to think about and connect to God, it could be a symbol we would use today, but we do have a lot of candles. I like candles because they're pretty, and they also remind me of some things, and the incense was something that was very important to the worship in the Old Testament, the presence of God, Him coming down to the temple. And so in the Old Testament, the presence of God was symbolized by certain things, and the incense, the prayers of the people would go up to the nostrils of God and His Spirit would come down. Well, when the incense had gone up, then the angel comes down. Again, very consistent with that concept of the Old Testament of can you imagine, as faithful as he had been and as consistent as he had been, how surprised Zechariah had to be by God on this day. I mean, just because he had served God doesn't mean that God couldn't surprise him. And it should be the same with us. We get so predictable. You know, we do things the same way and we're so used to certain patterns. But, you know, God may have something totally different in mind for us sometimes. And being able to say, God, you're God. And I'm not going to be, I'm going to watch for you. Not only in the things that we're used to, but also in the things that we're not. I think of how surprised Zechariah had to be. I think of the scripture. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? How would Zechariah ever guess that God was going to break in on this day? I mean, he might have been so excited that this was his day and he got to light the incense and all that meant to him and his family and all those things. But how could have he even thought what was going to happen to him? Number one, an angel was going to come. Number two, he's going to give him a message. And number three, his wife was going to have a baby. I mean, all those things. How could have Zechariah at this point in his life ever seen that God was going to do something amazing and great? But God was able to do that, and he did do that. Verse 12 says, when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. Of course he was gripped with fear. It would be very natural. I don't know if God will ever bring an angel and give me an opportunity suddenly to see an angel. It's possible. Some people have said they've experienced that in different ways. I've experienced a voice. I didn't see an angel in any way, but two times in my life when I felt like I just sensed God's presence speak to me, and I'm very thankful for that. I don't know if God will ever be pleased to send an angel to you or to me, but Zechariah's reaction seems very natural. He was afraid, but he didn't need to be afraid. I think, why do I say that? There's a big difference between fear and fear, you know. The Old Testament is just, and the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 12 tells us about having reverence and awe and fearing God. And the Old Testament about fearing God and respecting Him. But this is a different fear. He's afraid of God here. He's afraid of the angel because he's never seen one, of course. And I think of every time we read of a visitation coming to man by God's people and they're afraid, what's the voice say right away? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. In other words, I believe the reinforcement from God is, it isn't afraid you need to be. That's not, God wants us to have fear of Him, fear of respect and awe and reverence. But it would seem like the reaction of Zechariah, maybe that'd be the normal reaction for any of us, was to be afraid. But the assurance of the angel, he was startled and gripped with fear, but the angel said, do not be afraid. That's the first thing he says, do not be afraid. You don't need to be afraid. God's people don't need to be afraid of God. God's people, if they respect Him and fear Him, do not need to be afraid. They need to embrace and sense the power, the love, the presence, the guidance, the fatherhood of God. And I think every time I read of a time when someone was afraid of God, what's the words? Don't be afraid. It's okay. Well, look what the angel tells him. First of all, don't be afraid. And then number two, your prayer has been heard. Your prayer has been heard. You know, so many times when we pray, we wonder, does God even hear our prayers? Probably, if you're like most of us. You know, sometimes we think, does God hear us? Does He really know little old me? You know, I don't know how long this couple prayed, but God, finally, they heard from him. Zechariah, God has heard you praying. Don't think God is not. God has heard your prayer. Not only has God heard your prayer, but God's going to answer your prayer. Many, many years they had been praying about this. And don't be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. And then, Zechariah, brace yourself. Elizabeth's going to be a mommy. Can you just imagine this old man? I don't know how old he was. I don't know. I like to think he's really old, but he might have been that old. But can you just imagine hearing the words? You know, Zechariah standing at the altar holding the incense, whatever, and the angel says, your wife's going to have a baby. And if he didn't fall over then, I don't know when he would, you know. But can you just imagine what he felt and he thought his vision of God was? How? God? How's this? God? I don't understand this. He later on, he says, Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. He was really nice the way he said it about his wife. I'm old and she's just well along in years, you know. I mean, can you imagine this man standing there at the altar, you know, shaking the incense and whatever he did and the prayers that were going up and preparation for the sacrifice, and the angel comes and he's gripped with fear and all that. And then the angel says to him, your wife's going to have a baby. I can just see him like grab the altar. What, you know, how can this be? How can I be sure of this? I mean, how could I ever be sure of this, God? I mean, if this is you're speaking to me, well, you know what? God's going to help him be sure in a few months probably. You know what I mean? And God had his way of doing it. But that's kind of how sometimes we wonder about God at work. How are we going to know? How are we going to know that God's with us? How are we going to know that God sees us? How are we going to know that God is faithful to us and God's going to be with us? Times when we go through things that are very difficult. How do we know that? You know, Zechariah, as I said, he was a great man. He wasn't like this super saint that wasn't human. He's like the rest of us. How can I tell? How will I know? How will I know God? He asked that question. You know, he's honest. You know, he might have had doubts, but he was honest about them. And, you know, that's another truth about faith. Is, you know, when we struggle to understand, it's better that we not hide that or we don't. You know, we don't try to pretend that we got it all together. It's just better to say to God, I believe, help my unbelief. Or as Zechariah says, how can I be sure? How do I know? Tell God what we're struggling with, what we're wrestling with. When I read this story, these are some of the things that just come to my mind and my heart. And the angel also, of course, reveals a lot about the baby. He's, of course, given by God. He says that he will be a joy and delight to you. Oh, that was probably an understatement. A joy and delight to you. Now, we know what it's like to have grandchildren. And our little buddy here about 6 weeks ago. We know what a joy and delight children are. But imagine if you were not able to have a baby. And especially Elizabeth thought about that probably about every day of her life. Probably. You know, how much sweeter it would be for her, how much sweeter it would be to feel the quickening and the movement and to know that God had brought this miracle to them. She had to be crazy. Joy and delight. Also said of John the Baptist, he'll be great in the sight of the Lord. And he was. And later on, Jesus would affirm that. You remember what Jesus said about John the Baptist of men born of women, none greater than John the Baptist. He was great in the sight of the Lord. John the Baptist turned out to be what God wanted him to be. Of course, he was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. That's incredible. That's an amazing thing to think about, how God's hand and God's Spirit was on him and in him and through his parents, through Zechariah and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit. It says that he will go before the Lord. Right away, the angel is proclaiming to Zechariah and Elizabeth that John will be the forerunner of the Messiah. Probably, very likely, Zechariah knew the prophecies. He understood the messianic prophecies of Jesus coming. Of course, he'd have no idea that Jesus was going to be born to Mary and Joseph and that whole story. But he knew the Messiah was coming. And so when the angel told him that, Zechariah had to know that he was the forerunner, if he did indeed understand the scriptures and the Old Testament. He told him that he would come in the spirit of Elijah. You just think back of who Elijah meant to the Jewish people. I mean, Elijah is just an incredible story and figure of the prophet in the Old Testament. David was the incredible king. Moses, before him, was the incredible lawgiver. David, the incredible king, kingdom would last forever, and Elijah is that incredible prophetic voice. And so when the angel said that, Zechariah would have seen and heard the message that this is the forerunner of Jesus. He is coming. It says he will bring back people to Israel, or bring people in Israel back. Again, John the Baptist does that. He preaches repentance and people come from all over the countryside to be baptized in the River Jordan, preparing the way for the Lord, baptizing the message of repentance, how John the Baptist later would bring the people close and to the place that then they could hear the message of Jesus. Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Two places in the scripture this is found. The other places in the second to last verse in the Old Testament in the book of Malachi, you have this term, turning
the hearts of the fathers. What a precious phrase that is. That kind of became kind of the identifying verse or logo for Dr. Jim Dobson 30 years ago or 40 years ago, and focus on the family, turning the hearts of the children, and how it just paints a picture in our minds of what Malachi was thinking about when Malachi was looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. And there's going to be a day when the hearts of the children and the fathers will be reunited again. And then the angel mentions that again, bringing back together those prophecies to make ready a people, again, to prepare for Jesus to come, to make ready a people. What a message. What an incredible faith this couple had. And then one thing about Elizabeth and one thing about Zechariah is not being able to talk. Boy, a lot of thought has gone into why he was struck mute. And there's a lot. The evidence in here is the angel says, because you didn't believe, and because you, I'm trying to find it here, and now you will be silent, not able to speak until the day this happens because you did not believe my words. So again, this man wanted to believe, but it was hard. And the angel said, and I thought, well, why would the angel do that? Why would God do that? You could look at it. Well, it's because he refused to believe. And I'm not sure if that's it. It certainly would be a demonstration of God's power. It also would be a way to prepare the parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, and a way for them to continue to weigh what it was and to prepare the people, continuously wondering, what happened in the temple? What's God doing? Why did God come? Why did the angel come? Why can't John tell us about, or not John, but why can't Zechariah tell us about them? It would really kind of cause them all to really make them wait until the Messiah was conceived and on the way. I'm sure it had to create. I mean, if God just would have chosen Zechariah and Elizabeth, but there would not have been this big outpouring of the story, how that might have changed. But they did all know that he had seen a vision. They realized that. They realized that he had seen a vision. It's not that they just believed that when he came out, he got some bug or, some disease or, but they knew that he had been with God. They knew that God had spoken to him. And so they knew that something was amazing. And it would be later that they, maybe, I don't know in their generation if they really knew who John the Baptist was. We don't know because we're not told. But later on, 30 years later, 29, 30, 31 years later, John emerges from this story, the man of God that God called him to be, preparing his parents. And of course, Elizabeth's reaction, she went 5 months into seclusion. It says, after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. Wow. I mean, she was kind of mute about this too, seclusion. And it wasn't until Jesus was conceived and Mary came that then there's the pickup again of the story. But you think about that and how God orchestrates again the timing of two pregnancies and the announcement and the support of Mary and Elizabeth, and how it wasn't until later that that she comes out of seclusion, and then the people maybe begin to realize the wonder and the amazing, the power of it. And then she says, the Lord has done this for me. I notice here the Lord hasn't done this to me. The Lord has done this for me. Elizabeth has great appreciation for what God has done. She recognizes the power of God. In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. For Elizabeth, it's just a beautiful answer to a long, long prayer. Don't give up when you pray. Don't give up when you pray for people. Don't give up when you pray that God would help you and maybe break through some circumstance in your life. Don't give up. Story of Elizabeth and Zechariah are a beautiful story of faith that was held on to and how God rewarded them, and they became such a precious part of the story, the power and the plan of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for the Christmas story. I thank you for
Zechariah and Elizabeth an opportunity to read it again. I thank you for their faith. I thank you, God, for their prayers. I thank you, God, that they were able to remain trusting and faithful even when they didn't understand, and that, God, you were faithful to them and you heard their prayers and you responded to them in your time. I pray, God, that we would trust your time and trust you, and our faith would grow stronger. Thank you for this story. Thank you for the Christmas story. Thank you for the wonder of who Jesus is. May we worship him in all that we do, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. As you know, next Sunday morning, breakfast from 9 to 10:30, prayer in the sanctuary, and then our church family sent out to serve and visit people and find ways to minister to the people in your circle of influence. Next Sunday night, we're going to go caroling. We do that every year, and it is a way that we do try to go to see quite a few of our people in nursing homes. Some people have already told me they're going to go see certain people on my list, and that's great, but a lot of them, caroling is a way that we do that. If you're able to do that, come join us. Last year, we had a really big group of people, and that was great. If we have that many people, we will get to every person on the list. And if not, we'll go to as many as we can. I know that many of you will be busy during the day. Maybe the way that you're going to minister might take the afternoon, or maybe the evening is when it works for you. So that's not to put any pressure on you, but let you know that we're going to go caroling at 6 o'clock, and we want to have that opportunity to just be a blessing. So whatever you're able to do next Sunday and God lays on your heart, just do it joyfully, and we look forward to serving and loving people as God gives us the opportunity. Thanks for being here tonight. Any questions or comments or complaints? No, I don't need any of those, but any questions or anything you guys are wondering about and you just kind of wish I would have thought about? Okay, then go home. Good night.